Speaking of Reliability, a podcast with good friends talking with you about reliability engineering topics. Let's discuss how to create and improve your reliability program and your career.
While attending RAMS 2017, we enjoyed conversations with friends, colleagues, and listeners of the show. In this episode of Speaking of Reliability, please join me, Fred Schenkelberg, and Thomas Olson in conversation.
So welcome to Speaking of Reliability. This is Fred Schenkelberg, and I got Thomas Olson.
Yeah, that's right. I'm getting close.
And we're at RAMS in 2017, and Thomas works at Grundfos in Denmark. Now, what does Grundfos do? What's that company about?
Well, Grundfos is all about pumps. We're one of the leading pump manufacturers in the world, so centrifugal pumps for all sorts of applications.
So like the oil industry or for process plants or
Yeah, not so much the main...
Not the, the consumer products, but more industrial type?
No, no, we cover certainly cover the consumer products as well.
Okay.
Circulators for domestic, central heating.
So all kinds
boosters, yeah. Oh. All kinds of pumps.
All right. Everything
you can imagine.
So it's mostly mechanical, or is there electronics involved about all
Over the last years, it's increasingly become more and more electronics and software, complex systems.
It's a good thing and a bad thing, isn't it, from a reliability engineering point of view?
I think
more things can go wrong, but you can also learn more about what's happening with the system.
Yeah, exactly, exactly.
Right. Now, tell us a little bit about what you do there. From my understanding, you're kind of in the quality realm.
Yeah,
actually.
I mean, the department is a quality department, basically, and we're centered on product development.
Okay.
But I would say, from a Danish point of view, these quality departments in product development, they are dealing with quality and reliability. So basically, what you call dependability.
Okay. Okay. And so do you work with the different project teams, or are you supporting lots of different product lines, or?
We're supporting all our product platforms and their developments, both new product developments and also engineering upgrades, you could say, of existing product platforms.
Okay, so one of the things over the years is sometimes reliability engineers are in a quality group like you are. And sometimes it's a reliability group that's separate from the quality group. And sometimes it might be a product development engineer that is called the reliability engineer, and they might not be a separate group altogether. Do you see some advantage to being within the quality group, or does it matter?
Yeah, I mean, our company is in the order of magnitude 18,000 people globally.
Okay.
And I would say, even in the scale we operate at, it's difficult to maintain the critical mass to maintain the competence if it's distributed into R&D and so on.
So you're in a group that then allows you to learn from each other.
Exactly.
And have professional development and all that stuff.
Yes.
All right. So how'd you get into the reliability part? How did you become a reliability engineer?
Yeah, so I guess it's sort of a coincidence to begin with.
Okay.
When I graduated, I just knew I wanted to work with people, mm-hmm. and I wanted to work with technology and that interface.
Right, right.
And I was starting to look for jobs that
out of school
allowed that.
Right.
Yeah, and I realized that many of these jobs, they required sort of a senior level experience in many cases, in Denmark at least.
Mm-hmm.
But I was lucky to get my first job as a test engineer.
Okay.
So, and that was actually part of an R&D group.
Okay.
And that led, I mean, that was inside the project, and that led me into the circles of reliability, you could say, in Denmark.
Okay.
Yeah.
So you got to break things right away.
Yeah.
And have fun with that. But you also get to see the connection into the development teams.
Yes, certainly.
And that then evolved when, you know, you learn more the reliability statistics, I imagine, and learn more about product development. Do you do much of the design for reliability kind of work?
I think some of those more advanced topics are more things, how to say, that we discuss in the background of, I would say 98% of the time is quite basic.
Yeah.
Basic works, the coaching work, holding hand, and so on.
Well, even just getting a test through the process, getting the right number of samples, that can be a daily chore,
yeah.
It seems like, for a lot of people.
Yeah.
Now, I first met you, though, completely separate from our work as reliability engineers and the internal work we do with companies and stuff like that. I don't remember what city it is, but the IEC... which I'm not going to try to hazard a guess is what it stands for, but it's an international standards organization, has a group called, it's a technical committee, 56?
TC56. Yes, exactly, that's
right?
One.
And it's TC56 focuses on standards dealing with dependability.
Yeah.
Now, how's dependability different than reliability? You mentioned dependability earlier.
Yeah, so I think in practice, I don't think it really differentiates itself much from when you would say quality and reliability in daily talk.
Right.
But I think that the term dependability has been established to, how to say, sort of more from a definitions point of view to satisfy, unambiguity. But in place we got a term that many doesn't know exactly what is.
That's right. There's a lot of illities in our world.
Yeah.
So dependability, availability, maintainability, yeah. Reliability, and they all interact. If I remember right, the committees meet regularly, and they, all around the world. But you're working on standards of all shapes and sizes, and. So how did you get into that, and why do you work on standards? How does that happen?
Yeah, so my linkage to TC56 is in the Danish. We have some well-functioning networks that experience exchange networks where colleagues from companies, different Danish companies, meet throughout the year. And exchange experience from the companies, and that was my link. I mean, through Valtalol in Denmark, who was the chairman of the TC56.
Okay.
And this, I saw this as an opportunity to get into a learning environment around it. So that's actually my angle on it.
The short time I was part of those meetings and committees is there's some real talent and some people with a lot of experience. And it's multi-day meetings, but it's really deep discussions about the real nuances of some of these things.
Yes.
Also haggling over a single word sometimes for an hour, but it comes with the territory.
Yes.
I kind of miss it. It also is. It does take a lot of time to participate in all those committees and so on. So, but you find it. Is it meeting your needs for education kind of thing?
Yeah, I mean, what's not to like? I mean, pages and pages with detailed words about things and then discussing in a...
In formulas and tables.
So what's not to like?
Yeah, that's true.
I think it's... I'm considering it as an opportunity to learn.
Mm-hmm.
That's one thing, to discuss methods with some of the leading experts in the world on those methods. I think that's one good thing and something that anyone who wants to participate in standardization shouldn't be afraid to do, because I think it's a great opportunity. The other part being, I find myself being an expert in being a non-expert.
You ask the right questions.
Yeah.
How does this make it clear?
How does
this convey that information?
So I would just put myself in my own situation and ask, well, if I was to use the standard implemented in my company, how would it help me? Or would it not help me at all?
That's right, yeah. Those standards aren't inexpensive. If companies are buying the whole suite, it's one thing, but I remember the IEC standards are like 100 Swiss francs.
Yeah. Piece.
They're not cheap.
Nope.
No. How about those, in Denmark you mentioned the I want to call them professional society type meetings or meetups.
Yes.
Do you still do those?
Yeah. Yeah, it's we do 3-4 meetings a year.
Right. And is it like somebody does a presentation, or is it a series of presentations and discussions? Or
it's a whole day, and the companies take turn in being the host.
Okay.
Everyone comes there, and in the morning there is some presentations and so on, a little bit about the company we are mm-hmm. visiting. Then there is a lunch and a tour around the facilities, and we have other topics on the afternoon. And that would be all sorts of...
Plenty of time to talk and ask questions and network and...
Yeah.
Okay. Now that sounds... I don't know that there's anything like that in the States. I know that some organizations try to do factory tours and get people to it. There seems to be more secretive.
Yeah.
You know, we don't want to talk about reliability because that's when things go wrong.
So we have a point on the agenda called around the table mm-hmm. where people would, how to say, share more, you'd say, sensitive information. But that's of course not recorded in the minutes, but
right.
It's more like people to people, recognizing that people would, flow between the various companies that are.
So. Well, everybody benefits when you're sharing. Well, I mean, one thing that I remember in meetings like that, it's, I'm not all by myself. Other people are facing sample size issues, for example.
Yeah.
Or other people are trying to figure out how to what stresses to use in a HALT test, for example. And,
yes.
Or, you know, my new manager in development just doesn't get it, what we're trying to do, and he's not listening.
Yeah, that's a lot of it.
we'll fix that later kind of attitude.
You know?
I wonder if the Galaxy 7 folks said, we'll fix that later. It didn't work too good for them.
Yes. I think actually it's pretty... down to earth, it's you know, simple questions like, we want to implement FMEA, mm-hmm. how to do, does anyone have a template,
sharing resources,
yeah.
and it's not, you know, an FMEA template's not proprietary, and there are good practices to
share. Exactly.
It's just similar to what's happening here at the conference.
Yeah.
And so it seems like it's how big are the groups when you get together for...
I think we are always somewhat between 20 and 40.
Oh, so you get... It's a smaller group and easy to...
Yeah, a lot easier
to network and go around the table, that kind of stuff. Oh, that's awesome. Now, one of the things that we get on the Speaking of Reliability show are, you know, so what's a day in the life of a reliability engineer? And you talked about, you know, it's a lot of basic stuff, but what would a typical day be like for you?
What I tell my family and friends about when they ask, what do you do, Thomas?
Mm-hmm.
I'll tell them, you know, that I'm sort of a kindergarten teacher, just for adult engineers.
To give him a context on
yeah.
yourself.
You're
gonna have to break that down a little bit.
Yeah. My daily work is about helping them to play, you could say, mm-hmm. to have fun, to be fun and innovative, but at the same time encourage them to. To include for inclusion,
mm-hmm.
And I mean, I think a lot of what goes on in product development is about the creative part,
right?
And allowing that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
But you also know that engineers can be a little bit closed on introverts on how to say, it's difficult to share and
right.
it's just difficult to expose what you've done.
Right.
If you've done something wrong, and I mean, basically a lot of it is just to understand what they're doing, using some of the quality tools and methods to address that and put that into a framework.
Okay.
And how to say, facilitate that they would talk to each other. Also. Right.
So how important is that relationship building and get, you know, working regularly with your team?
Yeah, I think that's the key piece. Key piece, yeah.
Because they got to know you and trust to share, especially when you're looking at how will it not work. You know, it's like an FMEA, it's usually saying your product is a disaster, it's going to fail 30 different ways.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of designers don't like hearing that. I mean, they know it's important, right? Yet it's still difficult. Have you run into that where a designer is like, don't tell me how bad it is?
I think it's a bit the opposite, that actually when it is facilitated in a framework of a tool, mm-hmm. they're okay, comfortable with sharing deficiencies in what's on the table, mm-hmm. and maybe a little bit too
a little bit too much.
Yeah, but how to say it, it's more the follow up afterwards and operationalize the actions and how to say making those tough decisions about changing something. Mm-hmm, I mean, mm-hmm. projects are always on a tight schedule
and budget and everything.
So nobody wants to really, you know, no matter what. It always takes a few weeks or months to change the course of things, right?
Yeah, it does.
Yeah.
It does. And it takes some persistence, too.
Yeah.
I imagine that's a good part of a day-to-day routine is staying up with all that good stuff. All right. Well, great. Well, I really appreciate running into here, Thomas. And I know we arranged it earlier, so it's one of the shows that is... speaking of reliability, started at RAMS with the idea of, well, how do we keep these discussions going? And we get to talk shop here. And so the speaking of reliability is really aimed at, you know, let's sit down and have a cup of coffee and talk shop a little bit. So hopefully I didn't ask you any, you know, horrible questions or put you on the spot too much.
No, it's okay. Fred, I appreciate your invitation very much.
All right.
Yeah.
Well, we'll make you a radio rock star now. But I want to mention to the rest of the audience, if you'd like to join the discussion, is go to reliability.fm, and you'll find the speaking of reliability, and there's comment forms and ways to send suggestions and ideas. We're always looking for ideas of what you in the audience are interested in hearing about. So let us know if anything Thomas said about the, you know, how he works in the day-to-day business. You know, if we get any questions for Thomas, I'll forward them on. Would that be all right?
Yeah, no problem. I'm happy to.
Right? You might get some people flying over to Denmark to join some of your local meetings or get involved with the committee. So.
I think that would be great to interface like that.
Yeah. So if you want to go to Denmark, maybe your company will pay for it. You can give Thomas a call. Get some of the good Danish beer. I remember that. That's good. All right, well, thanks a whole lot, Thomas. Yeah. I appreciate
it. Thank you, Fred.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Speaking of Reliability. We invite you to join the conversation. If you have a question or a topic that you think we should discuss in a future show, please let us know. You can find a comment box below the episode show notes, or just leave a note as part of a review on iTunes.